Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Yeah, I think is the effect of that, of getting that authenticity in terms of the connection, is that there is, at the end of the day, we're all Chicago Bears. So it's not about being offense, defense, I play linebacker, you play quarterback, or, you know, O-line, you know, versus a secondary guy. That doesn't matter to us. We're just all the Chicago Bears, and we got to be tight that way.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Matt Eberflus reminding everyone what's happening in the locker room. The team he coaches. The squad is the Chicago Bears, and they are all Chicago Bears. Flus likes to remind everyone of some of the more congenial aspects of his squad working together offensively and defensively. Yes, he's a defensive-minded head coach, but as he reminds us constantly, spends a lot of time focusing his gaze on the offensive side of the football. My final hour here with you on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, this Thursday evening edition. I am Anthony Herron, and I'm excited to go out to the Circus Sports Casino in Las Vegas hotline, home of the world's largest sports book. I'll be joined by my guy. He is on Twitter at JBooty88, one of my partners over at the Big Ten Network. You also find him on Bally Sports, and apparently, as I was not aware, just looking at his Twitter account, one of the rising stars, no surprise there, in the media industry, as named today by Awful Announcing, my guy Jake Glutz. Jake Butt, what's happening, man? How you doing this evening?
Oh, man, I'm doing great, Anthony. And I just wanted the listeners to know, just real quick, you really are the hardest working man in this business. I've done shows with you at 6 a.m. I've done morning shows with you. Now we're doing an 8 o'clock show here on a Thursday night, man. I can't think of anything I'd rather be doing than hanging out with you talking some ball, man.
I appreciate you, my guy. No doubt about that. You know how it is, man. It is a fun industry to work in. To call it work feels like a bit of a misnomer, but we have a good time when we're at it. So you got to spend your final stretch of time in the NFL. You were with the Chicago Bears for a little while after the time you spent with the Denver Broncos. For folks who don't know, you know, Jake Butt was one of the guys who, you know, before we saw a lot of the opting out that was going on become popularized, Jake ending his Michigan career with the Mackey Award as the best tight end in the country, very famously had the injury in the bowl game, and then his NFL career was just kind of injury plagued from that point also. But you got what ended up being the last year of Matt Nagy, and you got sort of some exposure to that in finishing your NFL career with the Chicago Bears. You got to be around Cole Kmet a little bit during that time as well, if I'm not mistaken, right? Like, what were your impressions of what the Bears had the potential of becoming at a very tenuous time in the franchise's history, and how impressed are you with what they're in the process of building right now?
It's a good question, and I think it's a good chance to kind of compare the two times and really just to get ahead of this a little bit. I'm really excited. I know, Anthony, you and I have had conversations. I'm really excited to watch this Chicago Bears team this fall because I feel like they have a plan in place. They have an identity, and there's a organic new belief throughout the organization that, hey, not only are we going to be better than last year, but they believe, and I believe, that they can compete for a playoff spot, maybe win their division, and make a serious run at this. I think you can seriously make the case that the Chicago Bears have had as good an offseason as anyone. And I go back to that time, and it speaks on the importance of having the quarterback figured out, because, you know, it was Andy Dalton and it was Justin Fields, and I wasn't there too long, but, you know, my impressions were there was just uncertainty with how that position was going to play out. And it was also the other challenge too, Anthony, is what Andy Dalton brings to the table as a quarterback is much different than what Justin Fields brings to the table as a quarterback. So there was a little bit of, I don't want to call it friction, but it was just, it was tough to navigate at times. And then the other thing too is what's the plan for each quarterback depending on the offense? You know, all I can say is this: the Bears have drafted, in my opinion, seriously, the best quarterback in this draft, extremely talented, one of the most talented prospects of all time. But the plan and the pieces they've surrounded him with completely revamped that offensive roster and brought in an offensive coordinator with a plan and a vision. So I think all those pieces can show that this thing is headed in the right direction.
And with that in mind, it was one of the pieces of frustration that folks had at that point. You know, when you were there, it was the rookie season of Justin Fields. He was just getting his sort of first exposure to life in the NFL, to trying to pick up an NFL system. And like you mentioned, you know, Andy Dalton was there. Andy Dalton was going to be the day one starter, ended up being that. And then Fields got thrust into the lineup even earlier than Matt Nagy and his staff wanted because of Andy Dalton's injury. This scenario is certainly different in a variety of ways. The talent that surrounds Caleb Williams. But one area that I do have some concern is that there's not a veteran in the meeting room with Caleb. Now, there can be pros and cons to that because you don't have someone who seemingly, you know, is in a real position to take your job or maybe really wants, you know, your job that bad, feels like they should have it perhaps. But that other veteran voice in the meeting room can be useful to a quarterback if it's positioned correctly. What have been your observations of how much that can mean to the development of a young QB where you don't have just coaches, but a vet in your ear aiding your development and your understanding of the task?
Yeah, no, it can be helpful, but that doesn't mean it always will be helpful. You know, because I played on teams where we draft a quarterback and there'd be a young quarterback, and not every veteran quarterback is willing or able or actually, you know, capable of like kind of mentoring these young guys. You know, I feel like I've heard it now more than ever where the veteran quarterbacks are saying, you're not paying me to mentor a young quarterback. So that's become common practice. And where I do think the key element here, and just going back to my time with Matt Nagy, Dalton, and Justin Fields, is there is a complete requirement of your offensive coordinator and your offensive staff to be good teachers. Caleb Williams is learning a new language. He's learning the language of what will be the Chicago Bears offense. How well is that offense being taught to him? How much can he digest? How much can he digest to the point where he can teach it to the others? When he's in the huddle, can he get them lined up and be on the same page as his offensive coordinator? I felt at times back when it was Andy and Justin and Nagy, I felt the playbook was unnecessarily complex and deep, and I think it hurt Justin Fields' development. So that's something to consider. I don't have the Bears playbook sitting in front of me, but I do think, you know, the best offenses, they're not simple in the sense they're predictable, but they're simple as possible while still giving them the best chance to win. More words for the sake of more words isn't good. More plays just for the sake of more plays isn't good. How does it fit and stack and engineer as one playbook to make sense to get the entire offense headed in the same direction?
What do you recall about the position that Caleb Williams is in right now? Roma Dunze hasn't had an opportunity to get out there and compete on the practice field yet because of a hamstring strain. But those first opportunities to go out there as a young football player, I know you entered with injury in your NFL career early, but by the time you got healthy and that first chance you had to step out there against the vets, you're trying to learn what's going on, and then you're just measuring yourself up against these guys across from you. And Caleb struggled today, reportedly, on the practice field. And there was some reaction on social media about those struggles. But what do you recall about that time just as a young football player trying to make your way in the league?
You know what, Anthony? It's so much of this is the mental battle. Is, you know, if what I recall is I deleted my social media a number of times, and that always seriously, man, it always served me well. Because listen, Caleb knows if he had a good day before he even leaves the practice field. Caleb knows, okay, I was dialed in on my operations today and I had a good day or not. And you know what can happen is you don't want to, yes, that practice, today's practice and these meetings matter, but they only matter in the sense that they're part of the journey for him to become the best quarterback that he can possibly be. So you don't want to get too caught up in any given rep or any given day. You want to try to be the best possible scenario is to use it all as a learning tool. So the mental battle is tough. The pressure for him being the number one pick, and now, you know, I think he's got a great chance to break all the Bears passing records. That's a lot of weight to carry on his shoulders. I think that's as big of a piece of his success as anything. But once again, you know, the Bears have done a great job of surrounding him with pieces where I feel confident he's not going to have to bear the full weight as some other quarterbacks have. Look at Bryce Young from last year. An impossible situation for him, in my opinion. You know, that's not the situation here for Caleb Williams. So I think he's talented enough to get it done. The key for him is just to protect that mindset, because coming from USC to the NFL is a big jump. Coming to the NFL and then the Chicago Bears, that's one of the premier brands in the league. This is a big jump for him.
Jake Butt, football analyst with the Big Ten Network and just a sports commentator, a personality with Bally Sports. He is my guest here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You can find him on X at JBooty88. The fact that the tight end position feels deeper this season, that seemingly matters a lot in Shane Waldron's offense with the multi-tight end sets the Bears will have access to. Cole Kmet was a young football player when you spent some time with the Bears. Gerald Everett has been added to the mix here also. What do you think having – because Gerald Everett is a really talented guy, and we've seen Cole Kmet. He's played well enough to get his bag, and he's shown himself as one of the better tight ends in football now. So when you have two competent players – at that position, what does it allow the Bears to access offensively?
Oh my gosh, it's huge. And this is what I'm kind of saying, where you want the offense, not even just the tight end position, you know, you want it all, the entire offense to build off of itself. So yes, you know, you might have multiple tight end sets, which allows you to run the ball, which then allows you to have play action. And then you put both those guys on the field and you say, pick your poison. Cause I think both of those guys are capable of winning their one-on-one matchups. And, you know, Everett, I think, has been in a better situation in terms of, you know, offensive firepower and consistency at the quarterback than what Cole Kmet has. But we've seen Kmet flash at times. And that's part of the game in the NFL is you say, man, Kmet has a high ceiling. And then you combine these two guys and you say, okay, the Bears are, they're going to want to be able to run the ball. You can keep two tight ends on the field that can not only, you know, be a part of that, you know, that run game and an extension of the offensive line, but also really go to work against these linebackers and safeties. I find it very interesting, Anthony, that you look at the final four teams in the playoffs last year. The Ravens had Mark Andrews. The Chiefs had Travis Kelce. The Lions, they have Sam Laporta. And the Niners have George Kittle. You know, tight ends has quietly become one of the more valuable positions in this league. And I think especially playing up here in Chicago where, you know, the weather is dicey in this division, you're going to want to have to get your hands dirty. You're going to want to be able to run the ball. And those tight ends can become extremely friendly targets to keep drives alive and down in the red zone for a young quarterback.
Well, it'd be a mistake if I had you on the show and we didn't talk a little bit of Big Ten football as well, the conference expanding from 14 teams to 18 teams. Reports out there that we're going to see more Friday night games of Big Ten football as well. And there's so much inventory that'll be available in the 18-team version of the Big Ten that it all really seems to make sense. Your alma mater, Michigan, of course, the reigning, defending national champions. But your old coach, Jim Harbaugh, now back in the National Football League. So does that, the fact that now Harbaugh is back in the NFL, a lot of that core that led Michigan to three straight Big Ten titles and a national championship, a lot of that core is now in the NFL. So what type of position do you think that puts the Wolverines in headed towards the fall?
Well, it puts them in a much different position than they've been in these past few years. And you know, to win a national championship, depth is a big key. And that Michigan team last year, not only were they talented, you know, at their starting positions, they were extremely deep. And the only thing I can say for Michigan right now is we don't know how deep they are. We won't know until early in the season. And the depth piece of this, Anthony, is a big deal because, you know, for those that followed college football and followed Michigan, they really weren't tested. They didn't play a opponent that you could say on paper could compete with them until Penn State and that back third of their schedule. Well, you look at this Michigan schedule, and this is going to be the case going forward. You got Texas early, you got USC. I mean, this schedule is much more challenging than what they've been lucky to draw these past few years, which means you're going to have to rely on that depth. And the other thing of this, too, is J.J. McCarthy as a quarterback did things for Michigan that, you know, you seriously can make the case that he was the best quarterback of all time at the University of Michigan in terms of college production. And they had not had that for decades, at least that level of production and leadership. That's another piece of this is the quarterback position is still uncertain. That's something we'll be watching because, as we know, in the college game, especially with a new coach and all these new pieces, you got to have that position figured out if you want to go make another deep run at a playoff berth and a conference title.
And adding USC, UCLA, Washington, Oregon into the mix, the depth of the conference is only enhanced with, you know, Michigan defending national champs, Ohio State always amongst the best in America, Penn State very happy to no longer have the Big Ten East where they got to compete with the Buckeyes and the Wolverines every single year. So this is going to be the deepest conference in the country, very likely. Who do you see as a couple of the favorites then at the top of the ladder as we sit here in May but anticipate what the fall will bring?
Roster to roster, I think Ohio State has the best roster in the conference, Anthony. I think Oregon is close, and they certainly feel like they can make a case. You know, Michigan, that defense is up there with the best of them in college football, and that defense is going to keep them in every game. So they can certainly win a ton of games. Penn State is right there. You know, hey, there's a lot of change, and yet the names we're going to talk about, Anthony, are very similar. It's going to be Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, or Oregon. I believe it'll be those. The winner of the conference will come from those four teams. Really interested to see what happens with a team like Iowa. You know, there's no more East and West, but if you look at Iowa's schedule, it's still extremely favorable. And as we know with Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes, that, as you know, Anthony, they can win a ton of games. And another team I just don't think is maybe getting discussed enough is USC. That defense was atrocious at times, but they went and got De'Anton Lynn, the UCLA defensive coordinator. And when you look at the numbers and you watch the film, UCLA put a number of defensive guys in the NFL, including Liatu Latu. I think that defense is going to be much improved for the Trojans. And it goes without saying, with Lincoln Riley as your head coach, you're going to put up points in your quarterback, which is likely going to be Miller Moss, is going to be in that Heisman conversation. So it is certainly interesting. It's deep. It's hard to predict. You know, injuries will happen. Strange things will happen. It's going to be.
Well, your old coach, Jim Harbaugh, there were a lot of Bears fans who were very eager, rather hopeful, that maybe the Bears would decide to move on from Matt Eberflus as the knowledge was gained that Jim Harbaugh was going to be on his way back to the National Football League. That didn't happen in Chicago, but he's now the coach of the LA Chargers. No surprise, he drafts an offensive lineman with his first pick, the top five pick that they used on Joe Alt. Give Bears fans a quick Jim Harbaugh story from your time playing for him.
All right, so the best one I can think of is, you know, Jim, you've probably seen the memes of him like eating. Jim would eat steak and drink a glass of milk, right? He loves red meat and he loves milk. He was very anti-chicken. I think nowadays he owns some chickens and he's kind of changed his philosophy, but he was big time anti-chicken. So one day at training table for breakfast, we had eggs out, we had bacon out, we had all the normal potatoes, and a bunch of us sat down eating eggs, bacon, and potatoes, and in walks Jim Harbaugh, and he's staring at this training table. At the end of the food being served was chicken and broccoli because our nutritionist felt that we should have chicken and broccoli for every meal. So he's getting eggs and bacon, and as he's walking down the line, he sees grilled chicken there for breakfast. And he stops and he walks over to us and he says, "You know, why are we eating chicken?" He's like, "It's the nervous bird." And he said he wanted our nutritionist to try to find a correlation between chicken consumption and mental health disease. He said it's the nervous bird, and he doesn't think anyone should eat it. So, and he was dead serious about it, too. So I think that kind of speaks to the unique aura that Jim Harbaugh.
Well, Jim Harbaugh essentially commissioned a study on chickens to see if they force people to be nervous.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's a unique individual. There's no doubt about that. And congratulations again on nuptials, my friend, recently married. Welcome in to the circle of happily married men. And I'm very eager to spend some time with you, with your wife, and hang out when the opportunity presents itself, man. Thanks for joining me today.
Likewise, Anthony. Great to talk to you, man. Always great to spend some time with you. And, definitely looking forward to getting together.
That's my guy, Jake Butt. He was in a fight with his cell phone there towards the end of the call, but I'm guessing he won at some point because Jake Butt is a difficult man to take down. He was on Twitter at jbooty88. So there was some big news that hit the sports landscape, some big basketball news that's out there. I feel like, I don't know if it's my youth coming full circle or if it's my adulthood at a bit of a crossroads. I'm not completely sure, but there's a couple of different forces converging. Some I'm displeased with, some I'm rather happy about. I'll describe what I mean next on The Score.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
A simple way to listen to Mullion Hall, Bernstein and Holmes, Parkins and Spiegel, and everything The Score has to offer is with the free Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app today. Search 670 The Score and take us wherever you may go. You know this song. You know the theme. It is Round Ball Rock. John Tesh, somehow, like I think there's probably a generation of folks who either A, have no idea who John Tesh is, B, only know him as like an entertainment television host, or C, only know him from this tune. Only know him from Round Ball Rock. Like, he was apparently a successful musician and a composer, I guess, as well. For me in my childhood, growing up in the 80s and the 90s, this was my basketball childhood. Whenever I hear this song, I think of the NBA on NBC. I think of Marv Albert. I hear Bob Costas in my ear. I see slow motion highlights of Michael Jordan making the move in the 91 NBA Finals where he rises up with the right hand, switches to the left, and you hear Marv come in with, oh, a spectacular move. And it's all happening in this montage with this theme song, with Round Ball Rock playing as the music bed. And so now, for generations of basketball fans, they kind of went without this song for a long time. Myself and other people my age, especially folks in their 30s and in their 40s and their 50s even, this song being gone from our basketball viewership for so many years really led to us feeling a certain kind of way. And then a few years ago, I think about a handful of years ago, around 2018, 2019, Fox Sports began to enhance their Big Ten rights. They began airing more college basketball games, and it got to the point where so many of us had been without Round Ball Rock for a long time because the bulk of the NBA rights were with both ESPN and Turner. And then Fox just said, well, this thing's just sitting over here collecting dust. We're going to snatch up Round Ball Rock. So that's what Fox Sports did. Fox Sports began using Round Ball Rock for its college basketball coverage. And I got to admit, it didn't sound right. It didn't feel right. Because for me, just knowing that that song, that that tune was synonymous with the NBA on NBC, you know, I mean, I liked hearing it. It was enjoyable, but it never completely hit my ear correctly looking at it on Fox Sports. Now, apparently, reportedly, as NBC is in the midst of bidding on the NBA rights, they seemingly are the front runners now. Reports are saying that they're going to get a bulk of the NBA rights, and now potentially Turner Sports will not have them. Now, that's one part of the equation. But what's really interesting, though, is as soon as I heard that, I started thinking, well, wait a minute. Fox Sports has the John Tesh song. Fox Sports has Round Ball Rock. So what's NBC going to do? NBC's just got to come up with a new theme song or what? Apparently, the deal that Fox Sports has in place for Round Ball Rock doesn't give them exclusivity to it. NBC is in a position, apparently, where they can purchase Round Ball Rock back from Fox. It doesn't. There's nothing in Fox's deal that precludes the song from being used by NBC for NBA games. This according to John Tesh himself. CNBC spoke to John Tesh about that, and John Tesh said that he's in talks with NBC about sort of jazzing up Round Ball Rock to do an updated version of the song. I don't need John Tesh to touch it, to be honest with you. They can just use this. They can just kick it old school and run this exact same tune when they get back to airing NBA games on NBC. But if they are going to touch it up a little bit, I'll be okay with it, as long as it sounds familiar, as long as it doesn't get too far away from this song that we've come to know and love. So the reason that I feel a certain type of way about this, the reason I'm a little bit uncertain, Tyler Farengol, is because the other portion of this news, not just Round Ball Rock, but the news about the NBA, the Inside the NBA crew, the NBA on TNT studio crew, and what's going to happen with them with a year remaining on the deal, that part is what's getting a bit tenuous. We can go ahead and fade this out, Tyler. And I'm wondering a little bit about how the future of the NBA coverage will end up looking. I mean, the ratings so far for the conference finals coverage have been big. I mean, in some cases, been monster ratings. And the playoffs themselves have just been a good watch, a fun watch, entertaining games, new rising stars having big moments. You know, some of the veteran figures, certainly some of the all-time greats went out early, like LeBron and Steph and others. But some of the current sort of seminal figures and MVP caliber players having a lot of big moments so far in the NBA playoffs. So it's been thoroughly entertaining up to this point. And now the ratings in the conference finals have started off with some big numbers here. But the Inside the NBA crew, the NBA on TNT crew, led by Charles Barkley, Ernie Johnson, Shaquille O'Neal, Kenny Smith, there's 1 year remaining on that deal. And so assuming all the reporting is accurate and NBC ends up with those rights, now everything's kind of up in the air for what happens with what's become probably the most beloved studio show in sports media history. The chemistry that's been developed between those names that I referenced with EJ, Ernie Johnson at the helm of it all. And, you know, first it was Kenny and EJ, then Charles gets added to the mix not too long after that. And Charles just being himself on camera, and really Terry Bradshaw, when Fox Sports added Terry Bradshaw, when they got the NFL for the first time, I guess it's 31 years ago at this point, as Fox Sports just celebrated 30 years of the NFL on Fox. But Terry Bradshaw and Charles Barkley have been two guys who've brought their particular brand of swag, their particular style of bravado and provocativeness to television in the sports that they dominated during their playing days. And they've both carved out their own sort of niche of being guys who were willing to be kind of brash in the way that they spoke and in topics they were willing to address, in ways they were willing to talk about current players, and able to pull that off in a really entertaining way and not be too off-putting about it, and to be self-deprecating in the way that they both are. And it's made each of them guys who've kind of revolutionized the way that studio coverage has been done for each of their sports. And so conversely, how studio coverage has been done in general, you know, in the sports media scope. So we don't know yet what's going to happen to the talent that's there for TNT's NBA coverage. Now, Ernie Johnson, he's going to stay at TNT. He's been very public about that, very forthright about the fact that he loves TNT, he loves living in Atlanta. His family's there, and he's got reasons to be there for his family, for his children and everything too. But beyond that, we don't know what happens with Charles Barkley, Kenny Smith, Shaquille O'Neal. The potential for their media career is continuing. Well, Sir Charles was on the Dan Patrick Show today, and of course DP was asking Charles not only about the Western Conference Finals, but asking him about some of the biggest news in the sports media rights landscape right now. And one thing that Barkley addressed was specifically just the feeling, the morale right now, or lack thereof, with the folks working at the NBA on TNT.
Morale sucks, plain and simple. You know, I just feel so bad for the people I work with, Dan. You know, these people have families, and I just really feel bad for them right now. You know, these people I work with, they've screwed this thing up clearly. And we don't have zero idea what's going to happen. I don't feel good, I'm not going to lie, especially when they came out yesterday and said we bought college football. I was like, well, damn, they could have used that money to buy the NBA.
Yeah, but it says TNT Sports added college football playoff games in a five-year deal, their licensing deal with ESPN. Maybe that's why they're buying this, because they don't, you know, the money they were going to use on the NBA, they got to do something with.
Yeah, that's the first thing came to my mind. We've never had college football, never been involved with college football. And I'm like, wait a minute, shouldn't we be spending every dime we got to keep the NBA? So morale sucks, to be honest with you, Dan.
It's kind of a wild thing when you're around folks whose livelihoods depend on the way these media rights shift from one network to the next. Now, Charles Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal, they're certainly not amongst that group whose livelihoods depend on it, but who Charles is referencing is a lot of the people who work behind the scenes, the producers and directors and executives who are behind the scenes and are a big part of the sports structure of Turner Sports Media. And their NBA coverage has been the main reason that Turner's been able to start to get involved with the coverage of other sports, you know, like the NCAA basketball tournament and the PGA Tour, and, you know, be in a position to bid for college football playoff games. I mean, those are things that a couple of decades ago wouldn't have seemed imaginable, because Turner was just sort of this news and entertainment arm of media. They weren't known for sports until the NBA on TNT became such a huge deal. So part of the conjecture that's also there then is folks are wondering what the possibilities are if this does go through and the NBA ends up back on NBC, like it was for so many of people of my age bracket. Our childhood, like I was referencing, was watching the NBA on NBC, and it seemed like an awkward thing to watch it on Turner initially until we got accustomed to that. And so there'd be the potential where it could be an awkward thing for a lot of people to watch the NBA on NBC, because there's been decades of people who haven't seen it there. Charles Barkley talked a little bit about, you know, some of the conjecture that perhaps in making that move and smoothing things over for viewers, whether or not there's potential that NBC could nab the current group that's there, Charles Barkley and the others, and try to bring the TNT crew to NBC.
Well, I've talked to the guys about everybody signing with my production company, because I have my own production company, and I would love to do that if we lose it. But I have definitely had, actually somebody suggested that to me, to be honest with you, on the internet. So why don't Charles Barkley sign these four guys total, his production company, and sell it? I'm like, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
But like I say, you know, we're just sitting back waiting on these people to figure out what they're going to do. You know, my two favorite wines are Inglenook and Opus. And these clowns I work for, they've turned us into Ripple and Boone's Farm and Thunderbird. Like, we got the best studio show. It's so funny, we just won the best studio show, but these fools turned us from Inglenook and Opus into damn Boone's Farm and Ripple. It's crazy.
Now, Charles Barkley certainly knows a lot more about how those negotiations have gone than I do, but I would say for, you know, a lot of what I referenced a moment ago, all the livelihoods that get impacted when a network loses media rights, because when there's less content on a network, then there's less work for people to do, which usually ends up leading to folks being laid off, folks earning less money. And so that's one of those things that the concern when we just talk about morale sucking, that's part of why, because livelihoods will be impacted in that way if Turner loses the NBA, and all that inventory, all those nights on the air that come with the NBA being on TNT. But that being said, the other end of that is life at NBC for a number of years, as NBC was losing various sports properties. And frankly, as NBC, you know, when the NBC has the Olympics, every Olympics for my entire lifetime has been on NBC. But when the Olympics were surrounded during the pandemic, there's big losses financially for NBC while that's going on. And so there was a lot of livelihoods impacted by that, by NBC losing media rights in the college football space, not having the NBA for a long time, recently losing the NHL. There's been a lot of jobs that have been lost there. And so now NBC, just last year, getting the Big Ten football rights and Big Ten sports rights in general. So now airing all the football games and college basketball games that they air. It's been a huge deal for NBC. If they do get the NBA back, and the, part of the reason, the conjecture is perhaps the NBC didn't end up bidding big enough to keep the NHL, perhaps was with the plan to try and bid big enough to get the NBA back. And so if that happens, it's going to be a huge deal for NBC and a lot of additional work available for folks who are currently at NBC and those who would be added back into the mix at NBC as well. So it's kind of like the transfer portal. Yes, there is one program who's losing talent and can feel a certain way about that. But when a talented player goes to the next program, there's a lot of excitement, a lot of hope that surrounds that fan base when they get there as well. So it's an interesting story, and I know some of the minutia of it isn't as interesting as just the competition on the field, but I know a lot of you are like me where you've just been watching that crew and enjoying that crew for decades at this point and are curious what's going to happen. A lot of us are just still waiting and wondering and wanting to find out, and it sounds like Charles Barkley, as he told Dan Patrick today, you know, he's kind of wondering about that as well. I'm wondering what you're going to put on the grill. I'm wondering what Tyler Farrengill is going to put on the grill this weekend. Also, I'll tell you about what my plans are, what I plan on eating. And I'm wondering a little bit, you can tweet at me at Big Ant Heron, what you're planning on eating. Go ahead and shoot me a text on the text line as well at 312-644-6767. What is your plan from a food perspective for this holiday weekend? Would love to hear about that and discuss it next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Anthony Heron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I'm going to crown this as the official beginning of the holiday weekend. I began the show by giving you the day off from work tomorrow. You should take advantage of that. Let your boss know. And Anthony Heron said it was all right for you to skip out. I mean, preferably if you have a job where lives aren't on the line. But yeah, if you have a job where someone else isn't living or dying based off your presence, then yes, just go ahead and begin your weekend. And I guess tell them Big Ant sent you. The way I'm going to spend at least my holiday itself will certainly involve food. It will involve cooking. Because I live in a high-rise condominium, I don't consistently get access to open flames at my residence. So I always like to take advantage of it for Memorial Day weekend. I certainly plan to do that this weekend. I can do gas or charcoal, but you know, we're gonna go to my mom's house in the burbs, put some charcoal on the grill, flame on. But I like to say I prefer a slow cook for the ribs, for the brats, for the burgers, for the chicken, you name it. I don't usually make my own sauce. I'll season them up. I'm not good at making my own barbecue sauce, though, but definitely plan on some carnivorous bites. I hope you plan for the same and enjoy yourself while you are out and about. Do so safely for all of you out there. My thanks to the guests who joined me throughout the show this evening. Thanks to Carmen Vitale, Brett Taylor, and to Jake Butt. My thanks as well to Tyler Farrengold for me on the ones and twos throughout the evening. Appreciations and salutations to all of you for listening in. I'm Anthony Heron. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Anthony Heron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I'm going to crown this as the official beginning of the holiday weekend. I began the show by giving you the day off from work tomorrow. You should take advantage of that. Let your boss know. And Anthony Heron said it was all right for you to skip out. I mean, preferably if you have a job where lives aren't on the line. But yeah, if you have a job where someone else isn't living or dying based off your presence, then yes, just go ahead and begin your weekend. And I guess tell them Big Ant sent you. The way I'm going to spend at least my holiday itself will certainly involve food. It will involve cooking. Because I live in a high-rise condominium, I don't consistently get access to open flames at my residence. So I always like to take advantage of it for Memorial Day weekend. I certainly plan to do that this weekend. I can do gas or charcoal, but you know, we're going to Going to go to my mom's house in the burbs, put some charcoal on the grill, flame on. But I like to say I prefer a slow cook for the ribs, for the brats, for the burgers, for the chicken, you name it. I don't usually make my own sauce. I'll season them up. Not good at making my own barbecue sauce, though, but definitely plan on some carnivorous bites. I hope you plan for the same and enjoy yourself while you are out and about. Do so safely for all of you out there. My thanks to the guests who joined me throughout the show this evening. Thanks to Carmen Vitale, Brett Taylor, and to Jake Butt. My thanks as well to Tyler Farringold for me on the ones and twos throughout the evening. Appreciations and salutations to all of you for listening in. I'm Anthony Herron. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.